We've got Benji Molina joining us here on 95.7 The Game on Damon Ratto and Kolsky. No Ratto today. The Butcher Boy, Joe Shasky, is in. Benji is now in St. Louis doing his brother games for Spanish Language Radio, and we're very happy to have him here on 95.7 The Game. Benji, thank you for joining us today. How are you, sir?
I'm doing good, guys. I'm doing good, and thank you for having me in your show. That is very special. You know, I love San Francisco, so it's always a very special place for me. So, nothing, just thank you so much for having me in your show.
No, it's great to have you on. Thank you for joining us today. You know, we got a little slice of normalcy back in our lives last night, just having baseball back on the TV, back on the radio. Bay Bridge series started in Oakland. They're going to play one more warm-up tonight. And then, of course, it all starts on Thursday for real. Did you think we were going to get to this point? How worried were you that we might not get a Major League Baseball season at all? For a minute there, it looked like we might not.
I really thought that they were going to get to an agreement earlier. That's what I really thought. But then the days kept going and going, and I really was worried that it was not going to be baseball, right? So everybody knows this is a business, you know, baseball is business, and the owners and everybody that benefits from it. I don't think they want it the whole full year out, you know. I think they want it baseball all year. They couldn't have it all year, but at least they're going to have 60 games and playoff, man. I think it should be a very interesting season, obviously, because it's short and with all the virus and stuff running around and no fans, of course, it's going to make it really difficult, but it's going to be very interesting to see.
I'm sure you're aware, Benji, that in the Bay Area right now, we're having a sort of catcher development situation, not so different from what happened with Buster Posey towards the end of your time in San Francisco. And as Joey Bart performs well in spring training and practice games and whatnot, people are anxious to see him, but the franchise has said he still has more to learn. As someone who played catcher, how different is the development process for a catcher versus other positions, given the amount of stuff a catcher is responsible for?
I think also you have to have into consideration that the guy in front of him is a stud, right? It's not only having the guy, okay, you ready or not. No, you got to wait for the guy who's in front of you, that obviously everybody knows Buster, and he's a Hall of Famer. So that's what matters. That's what matters to me. That's the way I see it. Of course, it's very important for Bart to learn and understand more about pitching and more about starting rotations at the same time as hitting. But for me, the most important thing, it's the Buster Posey. Is he ready to catch many games? Is he going to be okay with having Bart behind him and things like that? So put Buster first and then Joey Bart. He needs to keep developing himself.
Yeah, Benji, I guess Buster this year is going to opt out. He's not going to play this year. He's got some family stuff going on, so he's not going to play right now. But and excuse me if this is a delicate question, but how difficult was it for you psychologically knowing that the team was so emotionally and draft-wise invested into Buster Posey and you knew you kind of had to tutor him even though he was kind of coming to take your job? How difficult was that for you?
You know what? I've been doing that for years in the minor leagues. I had a chance to work with three catchers that were way ahead of me as a prospect, and I had to – I thought I had more knowledge because I play winter ball and I play with major leaguers. So I had a little advantage in the minor league. So every time I had a chance to help out young guys, even though, like you just said, they might take my spot. And even though they might take my spot, I was helping them. So for me, it wasn't hard at all to teach Buster. Buster is a really, really good person and really, really humble guy and a family guy and then we were next to each other in lockers, so it was not hard at all for me to teach him the ropes. I knew my years were coming down, so why not help him and let him be a Hall of Fame that he is, right? So it wasn't really hard at all for me.
Shows what a consummate professional and a baseball lifer you are from one of baseball's first families, certainly among the first families of catching. Benji Molina, our guest this afternoon. Your brother, obviously, a future Hall of Famer, I believe, with the St. Louis Cardinals. How does Yadier feel about this season getting underway? Is he happy with the safety the Cardinals have provided him and baseball's testing protocols?
I think he's very excited. I think if anybody knows Yadi, they know that he gets really excited about playing. He doesn't care where he's going to play, even if it's in the backyard or whatever. He gets really excited to play ball, man. And he's been working out. He's been planning. He's been talking to his pitchers. The only thing he has been said he's worried is that the fans are not there. The people that yell for when we get a hit, the people that boo you or something, that part of the game is not going to be there. And he said that he's worried that his guys might not get it, you know, at the beginning. They might not get that part of it. But if they can pass their brain through it and through the fans, he still believes that we'd be fine, you know, like baseball will be okay. Hopefully they let fans in and they make this transition easier. But the only thing he worries is that there's no fans and how the players will react to that.
We may end up seeing a lot of funky pitching staff usage this season with the weird spring training, with a short run-up, with a short season. If there are that many more bullpen pitchers, that many different arms you have to catch over the course of a game, how much more difficult does that make a catcher's job in terms of staying ready and handling that many different arms over the course of time?
I think it's up to the catcher. I think it's up to him, and he will let you know if he's ready or not. I can tell you this. Yadi will be prepared. Yadi will be ready for those kids. Yadi will take it as a challenge, which is what I like about him. Anything that goes on, he always sees it as a challenge, and this will be no different. I mean, he doesn't care if he goes to 200 pitchers in a game or something like that. I mean, he cares about catching them and catching a winner. So I don't think it will be affecting Yadi at all. Maybe it might affect other younger catchers, maybe. They might not be ready for it.
Hey, Benji, I'm curious, because when you came up, I mean, we're talking a whole different generation, and I don't mean that as a knock on your age. It's just the way baseball was played was totally different back then. There was more feel and gut, and you had scouting reports, but you didn't have Excel spreadsheets, and you didn't have things coming from the GM. When you talk to Yadi nowadays, how different is it from when you came up to how they approach lineups today with all of the stats and the advanced metrics?
I think Yadi is a little different because he's one of the last veterans, you know. He's one of the ones that are left out there that were probably old enough to say that he saw the two generations of baseball. So I think it's good. Every time I seen him over there in St. Louis, he's always watching videos, writing stuff down. He uses the analytics. He uses all the other stuff that is around, the different types of baseball game that we've seen. He uses that as an advantage. He doesn't back up from it, but he's always an old school guy. Always. He's always been an old school guy. He's always been that guy that talks to the pitcher when needed to. He talks to the pitching coach. He talks to hitters about that. I mean, he's an old school catcher, but using obviously the new technology and new numbers that we see in these days.
Benji Molina here on 95.7 The Game. You were a crafty veteran by the time you got to the Giants clubhouse, but then you get to play for Bruce Bochy, who is just a consummate future Hall of Famer himself, and he understands the position you played because it's the position he played. Did he have anything to teach you at that point in your career? What did you learn from him since you were already so established before you even got here?
No, Bochy was one of my angels. I love Mike Socha and I love Bruce Bochy, and I always said it. I've never been ashamed to say that. If it wasn't for those two guys, probably Benji Molina doesn't have a career, right? So Bochy is a very special guy to me. We came in the same year, so we developed a really, really good relationship. Right after the games, I sit with him in the office. Right before games, he'll come in the office and discuss part of the games and what I think and things like that. He really, really, really used me, really used my brain, which I was really fortunate to feel that way with him. So we were really close. Bochy is a very special guy for me. I think he's a Hall of Famer for sure, but he's really easy to play with Bruce Bochy.
Benji, I totally forgot, man. How lucky were you to have Bochy and Mike Scioscia, like two great catchers, manage the majority of the games you ever played in this league?
Yes, and that's why I was a catcher first. I developed a little better offense through the years, but I was really, really concentrated on my catching. It was mainly because of those two guys. They knew how important they are. Catching position was, and when you have Bochy, which is a Hall of Famer, like you said, when you have Bochy coming to you and telling you that you are the one, the most professional hitter he's ever been involved with, and when he managed Tony Gwynn, and then he managed all these Ricky Henderson, and he managed Barry Bonds, and then he comes to you and say that, I mean, We develop a very, very good relationship, but it was because the way Bochy is with his players, the way I'm so glad they won those three championships, because I kept telling him, Bochy, you're gonna win one, man. You're gonna win one because you're too smart to not win it.
I'll tell you where he got it wrong with you, though, Benji. He never sent you. You don't have a stolen base in a Giant uniform, but Scioscia would use your blazing speed. You had three stolen bases. With Anaheim, let me ask you, did you take those off the pitcher or the catcher?
The pitcher, usually. They fall asleep once in a while. You know, they pick up their legs too high. They go slow. But Bochy always told me they don't need me to run, so I was saving my speed for the playoffs. So. No, but
what do you
he just told me that be careful with the running. We need you behind the plate, you know.
What do you think of the new three-batter minimum rule?
I hate it. I hate it with my guts. I don't think that's baseball. I really don't think one bit that's baseball. That's not baseball. If you don't like the rules of baseball, I mean, how come my lefty has to face Rizzo, and then here comes Brian, and I cannot bring a righty? Then Brian hits a home run, three-run homer, when I could have used somebody righty against him and made me get him out. I mean, I don't understand what the heck is this three. I don't know where it even comes from. I hate it. I don't think they need to be doing that. I think also that the pitcher needs to throw four balls to get a walk, the batter, not just say it, go to first. That's not baseball. But anyways, we would have to adjust and keep watching them, right? Keep adjusting to what they want.
Hey, in 2 days, we got a designated hitter in the National League. I might throw up a little bit that day.
Me too. Believe me, I don't like – it's not that I don't like the DH. It's just that I like both.
Yeah.
I like when the league has the DH, and I like when the National League have no DH and they can use the pitcher, because I love National League baseball myself.
Me
but
too.
I understand for this year if they want to do that, the universal DH, because you want to save the pitchers as much as you can. You lose a pitcher this year, and you lose him for next year too. So you're saving those guys. And I understand that part. But next year, having both leagues in the DH, I might throw up just the same way as you.
Yeah, it's like me wanting to throw up with all this Mike Scioscia talk that you guys have after you beat my Giants in 2002, Benji. I'm not going to lie. It
you
makes
guys
me want to puke.
You guys got three championships. What are you talking about?
Well,
seriously.
We could have had four. I mean, you know, Bonds could have had that one. You know, you could have given one to Dusty. No, but on all seriousness.
Bonds won 7 MVP or 9 or 10 MVPs. He's happy about it. Don't worry.
I know he is. I want to ask you, though, you were like a fan favorite. I've told you this before. You were my wife's favorite player, but you were like the fan base's favorite player in 08 and 09. I mean, Benji, cleanup hitter, number one in the squat. It was hard, though, for you to be a veteran on a team that really had no expectations, and you knew you were a team in transition. What is a guy like Brandon Crawford, who's going out there every day playing shortstop with no expectations, and you know that this is kind of a lost year? How hard is that as a leader of a team?
It is very rough. It is very rough. The first thing that as a player you have to do is block it out and keep going as a professional day by day. That helps me. I had my best 3 years in the major leagues with the Giants when we didn't even make the playoffs. I mean, we were a losing team all those years. We couldn't win anything. I mean, we had good teams, veteran teams, those three years that I was there, the first three. I had my best years in offense. So you block it out and you go day by day. You go day by day, man. That's the only way to get through these things until you find a good team and then you start having more fun, you know?
Benji Molina, what a pleasure it was to catch up with you. Thank you so much for joining us today. I tell you, I was in that clubhouse covering you nightly. You were a consummate professional. You had answers for all questions, especially the stupid ones, and we really appreciate that. Thank you very, very much. And best of luck to you in your broadcasting career, Spanish radio. You're doing about 30 games. You're going to do all the home games with the Cards this year?
Yes, all the home games. This year we were going to do all 81. But obviously with the season being short, so 60 games, we're going to do 30 games at home. And, I mean, it's going great. Me and Paulo Asensio are doing a good job trying to bring Spanish baseball to not only to the community, but MLB at bat, you know. A lot of people from all over the world are texting us or are tweeting us, you know, saying that they're listening to us, which that's what it's all about, man. At the same time, you're doing your brother's game. What else can you ask, man?
Oh,
you get a little
awesome.
Crazy here and there when he does well or bad or whatever, but, you know, you control yourself and keep going. So this is a good opportunity, you know, and it's been great, man. It's been great.
You've been great. Thank you so much, Benji. This was fantastic. Keep your family safe and sound during these weird times.
Hey, and thank you for having me in the show. And don't be mad that I have one more cycle than Willie Mays. Please.
I love you. I love you, Benji. Forever Giant.
Benji Molina. Phenomenal. Thank you so much, Benji. That was great.
Thank you, guys.
One more.